For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, week seven, almost over. Sunday's over, Monday Night Football still. The weekly Sports Injury Central podcast here. David Chow here, Pro Football Doc, with Jacob, who's running the show for us, and Taylor here. All right, interesting week of games, and not horrible for injuries, although, you know, always things to talk about here. Let's take it away here.
Yeah, luckily a light week, but it's the NFL, so there's always lingering topics. Just finished doing a deep dive on Jalen Hurts' knee, so let's start there.
Right into it.
I know Taylor's Philly people are chomping at the bit. There's all these conspiracy theories, all this
stuff.
They
need info now, yes.
So just to lay out the scenario, no knee brace in the first half, comes out second half of the knee brace. Looked at his rushing numbers, pretty similar. 5 for 9 yards in the first half and a touchdown. 6 for 12 in the second half, but that was minus the kneel downs too. So a little bit better rushing yards in the second half, even with that brace. He said it happened in a different game, not the week seven game against the Dolphins. Look back at, I don't know, Doc. It seems like he kind of has a little hitch in his gait in week six.
Well, look,
there's a lot.
We usually have answers for you. So.
Yeah.
No. Here's the thing.
In conclusion, I'm more confused. So
what we do here at Sports Injury Central is not magic. And we can't create something out of nothing. If we don't see it, we can't talk about it. And we don't always see something. And when we don't see something, you can take something from that. So we can draw some conclusions. I'll give you a side example. Last week, I remember I saw on Twitter, so someone was giving me, I guess, some crap. Hey, Doc, thanks so much for all you've done. I follow you for years, but you're not telling us about the high ankle sprain for Kyren Williams until Tuesday. It really puts me behind the eight ball as a fantasy manager. I'm like, buddy, we didn't see it. Like, the touchdown was his right ankle. It turns out we had to wait till the all 22.
Yeah.
To see the left high ankle sprain in a pile. If we don't see it, we're not trying to make it up and make it multiple choice in terms of what's going on.
Right.
So for Jalen Hurts, we were surprised as anybody that it was a brace ended up on his knee. And we've been looking through all the video from that game last night. But then Jalen Hurts says it wasn't that game. It was from before. So we looked the game before against the Jets and the game before that against the Rams. And by the way, there was a lot made on the internet for, oh, his knee almost buckled and, you know, this, that, the other in that Rams game. That was the right knee, not the left knee. So here's the thing. Do we see some examples yesterday of Jalen Hurts perhaps not being Jalen Hurts? I know there's one play where he escaped, rolled out to the left and rushed, and he ends up falling on his left knee in a PCL-type mechanism. This was without the brace on. Does he make his knee a little worse on that fall? Maybe. But he does pull up before that where he limps a little bit on that left side. So we do believe it's something that's been happening. And of course, you'd say, well, why isn't he on the injury report?
That's my next question. Yep.
Well,
my job easier if he is. I could tell when it popped up or when it started bothering him more, but I get it.
Look, the Eagles are not going to get fined. I mean, why isn't he on the injury report? Because the Eagles didn't think he needed to be, and they didn't want it on there.
Not missing practice time. Yeah.
Do you not know Howie Roseman? That's not a shot. I mean, it's just how the Eagles work. Come on. I mean, that's not a shot. I mean, he's a great GM. Look, as I keep saying, you don't travel 3 team doctors, 5 athletic trainers and physical therapists and whatever for the 3 or 4 injuries that are on the injury report. Yeah. I mean, this is week 7. There's a lot of stuff on there, et cetera. in terms of injuries. But I'm sure now that it's above the radar screen, the Eagles will follow the rules and say it didn't belong on there before, didn't meet the threshold, but now he's wearing a brace. We're going to put him on there and list him as FP or LP, whatever it is. And if need be, a questionable designation, even though he's going to keep playing. But sometimes it's good news. Look, we'd love to see a specific injury mechanism and say this is where it is. It wasn't in the Rams game. We've looked in the Jets, and he does pull up a little bit in week six versus the Jets, but we don't see a particular one injury mechanism. If you out there see it, tweet at us or DM or something, Six Score or Pro Football Doc, we'd be happy to look at it. But we don't try and make things up out of thin air. What we do know is we don't see a significant injury mechanism in the video, which I guess is good, because if we did, it might be something worse. We know, per his report, it bothered him before the game, and we know he put a knee brace on, which would seem to indicate ligamentous, because that's what knee braces do. Or was it something that just made him more comfortable, gave a little support? Is it possible that one sideline play that we identified where he fell on his left knee in a PCL type mechanism aggravated things where it led him to put the brace on? Maybe. Is it, you know, without getting speculative, is it just general soreness? Is there a small meniscus tear? Is it mild PCL from a hit we didn't see that got aggravated? The bottom line is, I don't think he's 100%, but he's still moving well and playing well. So I guess it's good news for Eagles fans that we don't see a particular injury. It's almost better news. Sometimes not seeing something is the good news portion of it. But I get how passionate Eagles fans are. They're
they need to know.
They need to know. Yep. I mean, is all good.
I got to give you credit too, Doc, because just because we're not making stuff up or we're not pulling stuff when we don't know stuff, but that doesn't mean we don't ask you to, because we just want the quick info. It's like, Jalen Hurts knee, Doc. What are we telling people? And you're like, well,
the carny trick thing.
Depends on a lot of stuff.
Get spit out stuff sometimes. We get confused.
Yeah,
it's not magic,
right? Right.
You know, no, I'm not calling the Eagles athletic trainer or Eagles doctors for information. They wouldn't tell me anything HIPAA. So we have to go by publicly available information and stitch it together. And right now, I take it as no news is relatively good news in terms of what's going on.
So no risk of missed time. No, I mean, doesn't seem like he's playing hurt. Like, the numbers don't say he's playing hurt. So
he's playing Hurts.
And if you have him in fantasy, you're playing Hurts. So that's not taking him out. Let's move on to Deshaun Watson. That's kind of the other interesting one from this weekend. Fell, had the concussion check. He actually said he went into the tent first to check the shoulder, and then was called in the second time with the red hat to undergo the concussion evaluation, which he cleared. Kevin Stefanski, we'll get to his comments a little later, but ultimately, it was his decision to keep Watson out. Is your read on the situation correct, Doc?
Well, he kind of said it, right?
Yeah. And
first of all, Deshaun said, as you said, the first check was for the shoulder. Now, we don't see a particular shoulder mechanism there, but certainly as you fall and you tighten up your body, that could be enough to strain the subscap. And you saw him on the sideline doing the subscap exercises. That's what he's hurt before. The second injury tent was the UNC saying, hey, we need to check you, whether it was a buzz down or looking at video. Because remember, the UNC and the team docs are looking at the game in live time. There's a spotter in the sky that perhaps rewinds and looks at video. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you don't see the video instantaneously. Now, we talked about it instantaneously that we thought it was more concussion than the shoulder, but his first check was shoulder, then concussion. That's fine for the process. He cleared that for sure. How do we know that? He was still on the sidelines. And how do we know that?
With the helmet in hand, all that stuff. Yeah.
If you have the helmet in hand, you cannot have a helmet or have the helmet on. Bottom line is, you cannot be in the sidelines if you're in the concussion protocol.
Right.
You're removed from the sideline. That's part of the protocol. You cannot be out there with your team if you're not cleared of the concussion protocol. And Stefanski said he would have put him back in, or when asked if PJ Walker got hurt, who would you play? He goes, I'd have to play Deshaun. Why? They only have two active quarterbacks.
Right.
So what is he saying? You can only go to your third emergency. I don't even know that the Browns had an emergency quarterback. Did they for that game? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if
it's optional, isn't it?
It is optional. I don't know if they had an emergency quarterback declared, but the emergency quarterback, which probably would be DTR, could not come in unless both of them were ruled out and not coming back.
And there was no designation on Watson. That's why the beat writers are kind of confused. They said he cleared the concussion check, but it wasn't shoulder questionable. It was just nothing.
Well, the reason why they were confused is it was coaching decision. Yeah, right. His shoulder is injured, not 100%, but it was the fact that it was coaching decision mixed in with the shoulder situation where he was one of five in an interception before he left. Look, here's where we try and be pretty transparent, right, wrongs. And I know you'll call me out later on good calls, bad calls, and whatever. But all week I was saying, I don't think Deshaun Watson is the starting quarterback unless he FPs all week because of what happened in week four. Instead, he went essentially what DMP, LP, and then was questionable and started. But he clearly had a pretty short leash. As soon as he was shown to be aggravated, he was done. They're not sure about the shoulder yet.
For the roster moves, DTR was inactive that game. They have three on the roster, but they made him inactive. For they carried two into the game. Yeah,
and he wasn't declared the emergency.
No.
Okay, so there's where Stefanski was saying, "Hey, this is all we had." Yes, he was going back in the game if he didn't play. Stefanski is already saying he's the starter next week.
Yeah,
assuming the shoulder's okay.
He's pretty straightforward. If you go from a coach talk standpoint, right? He doesn't usually. Sometimes maybe a little, but he's usually pretty direct.
I got to say, this Deshaun Watson whole situation has been a little confusing, right? Yes. And when Deshaun Watson was talking earlier in the week, day to day, but this is a rotator cuff. It's 4 to 6 weeks. Week seven was 4 weeks. This is a week three issue. So, I think everyone on the Browns would feel more comfortable if Deshaun could get in three FPs and then solidly be in there against the Seahawks.
No questions at all.
All this other stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think his shoulder's any worse from the fall or the hit or anything like that.
Yeah, Watson said he wanted to continue playing, but understood Stefanski's decision to hold him out. That's what he said after the game, him and Stefanski talk. So I think as long as Myles Garrett's in the lineup, that's all Browns fans care about at this point.
No kidding.
That was a wild game.
He's a game changer, yeah.
Justin Fields already announced as doubtful this week. Matt Eberflus just told reporters, no, it's not really news for us, Doc, but when are we expecting Justin Fields back?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're putting that on good calls or whatever, this, that, the other, but is anyone believing the MRI showed nothing? I mean, come on. He dislocated his thumb. The MRI showed something. Nothing surgical. And we said this is a multi-week injury. So let's take it a week further. No, he's not playing this week. And it is not guaranteed he's playing in week 9 either. I don't even know the opponents, but Chargers, Monday night
at the Saints, and then week 10 is at home against Carolina, but it's a Thursday game.
I mean, I think he's out one more week and then he might have a chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's your thumb to be able to grip and spin a football. It's hard, and guess what? Bajent's performance,
not bad. 21 to 26, 162 yards and a touchdown. They got 173 rushing yards from their running back 3 and 4 on the roster because Khalil Herbert on IR, Roschon Johnson in concussion protocol. They said he's looking better for this week.
I'm not suggesting that Tyson Bagent is the new starter, okay? But I am suggesting that he's done enough where they're not trying to rush a less than 100% Justin Fields back with his thumb. And not that they don't like Justin Fields anymore, but it's all relative. Remember back, I still remember this, I chuckle at the coach speak, when we broke the news on Tyrod Taylor's punctured lung on this podcast. And the initial word from Anthony Lynn, the then Chargers coach, is, this is Tyrod Taylor's job. Justin Herbert's just renting it. We just had to start him. This is Tyrod Taylor's job. Justin Herbert did pretty well. And it became, this is Tyrod Taylor's job, but we don't want to rush Tyrod Taylor. We want him to give every chance to be fully healthy when he returns. And then it was, were you going to be extra safe? And then it was, yeah, by the way, it's not your job anymore. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to be the case.
He was Lynn's guy, too, even all the way up in Buffalo, right? So
Yeah. And that's good. And it's not good, but I'm just saying things change.
Yeah,
look,
for sure.
If Bajent was a disaster – they might say, Justin Fields at a thumb that's 70%, maybe we give it a shot, right? Because he was serviceable, it gives them a little more room to just say doubtful to begin with and give him all the reps. And yeah, but it fits the medical. And it's not saying that they don't like Justin Fields. It just gives them more room to say, we're okay another week. Justin Fields is not ready, and to say that he's doubtful. And doubtfuls really don't play.
Right. This reminds me of 2020. I remember Gardner Minshew. He hurt his thumb, fractured the ligaments, everything. And he happened during week 5. And then it came out a couple weeks later. And you're like, this happened a couple weeks before. He should be ready to go. But they were 1-15 that year, so they're starting to look for other quarterbacks. So they used the thumb injury as an excuse to look at other options. I know they're not looking at, they're using other stuff, but
there's a lot of hiding behind health going on. Yeah. People know that Derek Carr was sat last year because of the injury guarantees, because they were ready to part ways, right?
Sure.
So there's all sorts of things that go into this decision-making. But the bottom line is, medically, Justin Fields at best can play in week 9. And even that is not guaranteed, given the painful nature of your thumb. Everyone's probably jammed their thumb at some point in time. I mean, it hurts to pick up a textbook. It hurts to open a doorknob. It hurts to, you know, to grip a football. I mean,
it's asking a lot.
Yeah. And throw and spin it. I mean, it's difficult. And this was a dislocation, not a jam thumb.
Right.
Getting on the defensive side, I know we spent a lot of time talking about quarterbacks. Nick Bolton, they were announced going to have surgery for that dislocated wrist, and they're looking at 2 months for recovery timeline. He dislocated late in that Chiefs-Chargers game on a tackle, came off holding the wrist. Any surprises there, Doc?
Well, no surprises from the fact that there's no associated fracture. No surprises there that it needs some sort of surgical procedure, because you tear ligaments when you dislocate. It's going to be what's called a lunate dislocation. And believe it or not, the lunate ends up sitting in your palm. It's an interesting situation. And the return is variable. The good news is it fits what we're saying, that he is not, his season will not be over.
It's late December, coming back early January, late December.
Yeah, his season isn't over. And you know, the Chiefs, as long as they have him back for the playoffs, they're happy. And guess what? It's a wrist, so he can stay in good shape and the whole deal. If they were rushing it, they could try and put different pins in. You know, we've talked about on this podcast before, so it's no longer HIPAA, but Sean Merriman, lights out beast. We were playing the Jets. There was a goal line stand that he completed, and then he came out and just showed me his wrist. Like, holy smokes. He goes, when that happened, he goes, beginning of the series. He stayed in the whole time. And look it up. He did not miss any time. It was, we put in bigger, thicker pins for the ligament, threaded, because the hand surgeon said, well, smooth pins, they'll move. I said, all right, let's do threaded pins. Right. Let's do bigger. Informed consent. Sean obviously wanted to do it. So there are some tricks to try and force it back in a cast. And I'm not saying that all wrist dislocations are exactly the same, whether the Chiefs aren't doing the right thing, but some of it also is, as long as they have him back for the playoffs, they're good, right?
He's their top linebacker, and they do have some depth at linebacker. So like you said, I think this is not one that they can wait a little bit.
It's not season ending.
Yes, correct. And
it's less risky to deal with not the pins, and the 2 months is a good conservative timeline. Significant injury.
And he'll be effective when he comes back. He'll be able to wrap up and tackle in his first game, or it'll
not
be
an issue.
Yeah. Okay.
Not an issue.
They already played it without him a couple games. He had that high ankle that I think he missed 3 to 4 games. So they have some depth there, like you said, Taylor. Yeah. Hey there, listeners of the Sports Injury Central podcast. Ever felt the wear and tear of intense training? We get it. Recovery is crucial. That's why we're introducing you to Mushroom Life. Unlock the natural power of functional mushrooms with their range of tinctures, soft gels, and more, all designed to support your well-being and elevate your performance. And for those days when you just want to kick back and relax, check out their Euphoric Mushroom Gummies, perfect blend for that post-game relaxation. Very nice of them to send us a sample pack. I can't wait to dig in on my next off day. Now here's a treat for all our loyal listeners. Use the code SIC and snag an incredible 50% off across the board. Dive into the world of mushrooms and elevate your wellness journey. And always remember, Shroom responsibly. Head over to Mushroom Life now and discover the magic of mushrooms. Click link in the bio in the show notes, mushroomlife.com. That's mushroom, L-Y-F-E.com. Let's get some fantasy names. David Montgomery out of a lot of fantasy owners' lineups this week with the ribs. We have a 6-score 41, so leaning towards him not playing this week. Why is that, Doc?
Rib cartilage takes longer than even broken ribs. He fell on the ball. It's rib cartilage usually can be multi-level. I think he's out one more week, and then it's the bye. Is it the next week for them?
Week 9 bye, yes, correct.
Yes, so we'll see David Montgomery week 10. I'm confident of that. But week 8, I don't think so.
Gotcha. Jerome Ford was another one in the Browns running back room. High ankle, left high ankle. They're already talking.
Right ankle.
Sorry. They're already talking about him missing a couple weeks. So it's going to be down to Kareem Hunt and Pierre Strong.
Oh, they have confirmed it now. During the game, we had no confirmation, and we were saying right high ankle, that he wasn't coming back and is likely to miss at least week 8. So now they're on to a couple weeks with the high ankle. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you know, Saquon Barkley missed 3 weeks. Eckler missed 3 weeks. Not that all high ankles are the same, but.
It's actually a situation that's funny, though, because it's not funny, but like you have no Chubb and you have no Ford, but you, I feel like this is a situation that you're still not like terribly concerned. Like you have Kareem Hunt, like other situations, yeah.
Which is why running backs aren't getting paid.
Yes. Fungible is what they're saying. Yes.
That's why they're not getting paid. If you're, you know, I mean,
like Taylor, he had that big contract. We've yet to, I know it's the ramp up, but I mean, I don't know if he's yet to show that kind of money.
I'm just saying that's why they don't want to pay him. I mean, they're like, well, we can get someone else for same or less money. Why don't we need to pay the big dollars?
For sure. These are people off their couch per se, right? Kareem Hunt wasn't even on a team to start the year.
Yeah, I don't know if he's on the couch, but yeah.
Yes, yeah. He was doing a bunch of
free agent visits
and stuff, yeah.
And we do that, take that into consideration. There's sort of a war assessment on our field
views. Yes, absolutely.
Six scores.
Better the teams. Backup, lesser of the hit, yes.
Yes.
Christian Watson, still waiting on news from him. They didn't really say anything after the game with his knee, but he kind of got folded up. I think it was right knee late in that game, the loss against Denver, and then limped off, kind of collapsed on the ground made it to the finish line, made it to the sideline type deal.
Doc's got a theory on his.
here's the thing, okay? There was a lot going on. And he got folded up on that knee. I mean, could he have something going on? I don't see it as a major ligament to anything. Was his knee sore? Sure. It was folded up. I don't think it's season ending. Could he have something small? Sure. But part of the drama there was he fell when he got to the sideline.
What collapse like?
I don't think he fell or whatever. I think I think what was happening is I don't want to cost my team a mandatory timeout. Let me just get off this freaking field and run as best I can. I made it to the sideline. Let me sit out or lay down and I'm off the field now. Didn't cost my team a timeout in the 2-minute drill, etc. there with the injury issue. So good on him, but I don't think it's a huge deal. I get it. He just, you know, he's missed a lot of this season. Let's see what happens, but I'm not that concerned about Christian Watson right now.
Now they get Minnesota next week, so division opponent, but just a little behind the scenes in the war room, we had one of our guys looking at that, watching that game specifically, and he said, oh, he looks pretty good going off. I don't think it's too much of a concern, and then boom, he was out of the shot.
Which leads me to the hole, so, like you said, like someone jarring, told him, hey, you need to get off the field. He started going,
I think he was just hustling off the field, and it probably hurt, and he was tired. I'm off the field, I don't want to go all the way to the bench, I'm just gonna drop down right here. No big deal,
for sure,
it's fine.
Looking at a Thursday night, Tampa Bay at Buffalo. Tampa Bay is pretty healthy on that side, just Vita Vea, but he played. Shaq Barrett's recovering from the Achilles tear from last season. Buffalo on the other side, their defense is pretty banged up. Daquan Jones out. Ed Oliver missed the game last week. Matt Milano obviously out. Tre'Davious White also out. So kind of came back to bite him against the Patriots.
Made it's like
Patriots
a Christmas look, trio.
Look a little better, yeah.
Surprising to us. I mean, it was one of our better calls that, defensively, the Bills had a low 6-score. And
the win cost us. It was the win. We would have had it sooner.
No, you know, on the over. But what's a little surprising, though, is that the Bills' offense didn't get it going more, right? And the Patriots have their injuries on defense, too.
Right.
And but it still was the over. Still one of the better calls that alert, alert, Buffalo's defense is not the same right now without those four key starters. They are not the same right now. Injuries at every level of the defense, including top guys at every level of the defense. So Buffalo's defense is not the same. Everyone's looking at their offense, how they're not clicking, but their defense is not the same right now.
And Oliver had the toe issue. That's why he missed. And this is a short turnaround. You would assume that he also misses this week as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same. The same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sick data is how you get all that info. With our field views, you can see the hidden advantages is just $299 a week. So that's how we saw our Ramondre Stevenson over rushing receiving for a guy that, that hasn't had a lot of success this year. But we saw him going against the lack of two defensive stoppers.
And we did receiving too, because it, like you said, it wasn't just the D tackles is out. It's Milano's out. Milano covers each side of the ball really well. So he was able to do receiving as well.
And I was fortunate because he got like a 30-yard catch at the end just to go over. So
skin of our teeth one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you wanted to take Elliott too. I said, don't do that. Too many. Which would it?
That's one of the first times I've listened to you, which is
sorry. Week seven, you know, it didn't take too long.
Yeah. Or 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Looking ahead to some other matchups, injury edge is how you can get our biggest advantages of the week. Not saying these two will be our biggest advantages, but kind of have the most injury stuff going into it. Again, that's included with sick data. So $299 a week, you get the field views and injury edge delivered to your inbox. Jets at Giants. Jets coming off the bye. Daniel Jones wasn't clear for contact. He was still questionable. Got some practice time. Looked like they were hoping he could make it this week, but is it what's different going into next week against the Jets?
I think it was close this week. I think it's possible that he would play Thursday. We don't see that neck issue as severe or significant. The Giants pulled off a nice victory. I mean, their offensive line is still a hot mess. Still not going to have Andrew Thomas. Lost more people. Justin Pugh off the couch. The same things still apply. I mean, I don't think the total can be low enough there in that game, huh? Jets have a pretty good defense.
When would he need to be cleared for contact to be people to think that he's ready? Because it was, I remember hearing Saturday or Friday night that he wasn't yet, so that would assume he wasn't able to play Sunday. Is it like he can do it very quickly and then play?
Thursday, 91 yeah. minutes before
yeah. the kickoff. Say, it could be very quickly before, yeah, okay.
There's no rule. Right. I mean, he can be cleared whenever the team docs want to clear him. Mm-hmm. Literally 91 minutes before Thursday's contest.
Yeah.
Is there a reason he wouldn't be cleared for contact? Are they just being extra cautious with him? O-line concerns?
Well, I mean, some of these definitions are very funny. How much contact do you think the red jersey quarterback takes during the middle of the week anyway? I mean, true. Come on. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just – you know, I don't think that designation is that important when okay. it comes to a quarterback. What they're saying is, let's just be extra cautious and not let him get hit in the neck area yet. But in practices, you're not hitting a quarterback anyways.
Right.
It's just when are they comfortable putting him back into a game? I think more likely than not, he plays Thursday, even though it's a short week.
They play Sunday. Sorry.
Sunday?
Looking ahead to next week. Yeah.
My bad.
Tampa Bay and Sunday. Buffalo is the
Tampa
Thursday.
Buffalo. So Sunday, yes. Daniel Jones is playing Sunday versus the Jets, in our opinion.
We won't get into the Rodgers stuff. We got plenty of season to get into that. But is he ahead of his progress? Can we just put that to bed?
Is the speed bridge working?
Look, go back and look at the tweets. The day it happened, as soon as Sala confirmed basically his Achilles, I put out a tweet saying it's not impossible that he returns this season. Jets got to make the playoffs. They're 3-3. Whoever leads them there, Zach Wilson, whoever leads them there has to be injured because if they have a healthy quarterback that got him to the playoffs, right. that's who they're going to ride, as right. opposed to a just coming back, rusty, not 100% quarterback, even if it is Aaron Rodgers. So I got some hate for that. Now everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's fine. And I even remember saying, I'm Pat McAfee. Guaranteed he will come back next season. Now we're talking about this season, right? I mean, but he's 40. I mean, he's going to be fine. Yeah. And then I did say something. Watch the hysteria when mid-season he's back on the sideline. Okay, he was back on the sideline a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier than I would have thought.
Still the same concept.
Yeah. I mean, it's still the biology of healing. He's not ready yet. He didn't really use much of his Achilles. I was a little surprised he was allowed on the sidelines, because what if disaster struck? You know, the wash comes and he gets hit or tries to move quickly to get out of the way. But not, it didn't happen. So, I don't know. Once again, SpeedBridge, over a decade-old technology, doesn't speed up biology, provides more of a stent early on, perhaps to allow him to do a little bit more, but that's not indicative of ultimate healing. And you cannot rely on the speed bridge to play NFL football. You still need biology. So kudos, Aaron Rodgers. I hear he's doing all sorts of different things. I think he's
power positive thinking, all that good stuff.
But I also think he's working hard and he's doing blood flow restriction stuff and other things to try and help with the biology. So kudos. Yeah, I said from the beginning, I don't think it's impossible.
Cleveland at Seattle. We've already been through the Deshaun Watson stuff, but the running back cluster is still going to exist for the Browns. Seattle has their slight O-line issues, but overall pretty healthy. Expecting to see DK Metcalf back out there with the hip more than the ribs, right?
I do. I think it's a one-week absence from the hip pointer, and the ribs, fine. I do expect DK Metcalf to be out there.
Leads into our good call of the week. Jackson Smith-Njigba, over 35.5 yards. Got that number early because expected DK Metcalf to be ruled out. Finished with 7 targets, 4 catches for 63 yards. So kind of a breakout for him. He's been playing through that wrist injury, remember? So slower start to the year, but probably not just talent-based, but because of the injury.
Well, the 6-score team, and you guys are good at looking at that and looking at that. That's not my ball of wax or whatever. So good because of injuries and no, the target, extra targets is increasing health. That was a good one, reasonable one. But I don't know. I think we've had overall at 6-score a pretty good week. You know, Lane Johnson was going to be okay, even though he didn't finish. Trent Williams is not going to be so okay, even though he did finish.
Right.
Right. And, you know, Jerome Ford now with the hike. I mean, in general, you know, what's actionable and what you guys find. I mean, look, we're just trying to analyze injuries and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, unfortunately, the bad call is Jahmyr Gibbs, under 85.5 rushing receiving. He had a breakout this week, 126 combined, 68 rushing, 58 receiving. So
I have a beef on that, though, because they were down 38-6. Large part of those receiving yards happened after they were down. He wasn't running the ball well, but no, I get it. It was a loss. I'm just trying to find
what happened to the other runner? He didn't really play.
Craig Reynolds. It was three carries for 16. They only rushed 14 times because of the score. But yeah, he was 6.2 yards carry for Gibbs. So he did run the ball effectively. But they did start realizing they can run on the outside and not necessarily inside. But he had 58 yards receiving, which also played in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone who's paid attention since early weeks of football or early weeks of this podcast know the Ravens have been a continuing topic, but they're getting healthier now. They're not as bad. So it's kind of I know everyone's surprised by the lopsided scoreline, but their positive health delta has been increasing week by week.
No, they started off season very injured and they didn't play horribly through it. Now they're getting healthier.
They were as low as 67 6 score. They're up to 86 now. So like you said, they're moving up in the right direction.
20 points in the right direction. Yeah. We'd go more on delta than the overall score. So that's pretty positive for the Ravens.
Let's talk Bijan Robinson a little bit. Kind of an interesting fantasy debacle. I know you weren't too concerned about it in the war room, but a lot of fantasy managers on Twitter all over the place are freaking out because he had one carry for 3 yards. So I'll set the scene a little bit. Arthur Smith at halftime, so no injury designation, not on the injury report, wasn't involved, didn't get a touch in the first half. Arthur Smith tells the sideline reporter, oh, Bijan's not feeling all that great. And then after the game, it comes out from Bijan himself, said, oh, I didn't feel great on the overnight flight. I was trying to take some medicine, get out there, but I had a headache. And I told Arthur Smith, he said, don't worry about it. We'll get you right for next week.
Except that one carry makes a lot of the props valid.
With 30 seconds left in the game. I mean, it was a tight game. They got good rushing production from Cordell Patterson.
It was
Tyler
in the fourth
Algier.
Quarter with less than 4 minutes to go. It was within a minute.
Yeah.
That was hurtful.
Well, bottom line is, look, it happens.
Yeah,
I mean, look, Arthur Smith's taking care of his guy, yet fantasy managers get upset. I mean, these players are human. They can get sick. I mean, I won't name any names, but we had a guy once that I won't even give any clues to make it and whatever.
Don't give me clues. Yeah.
played in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Good player for us. And he was sick. He had not to get up, whatever, but he had the runs, and, you know, and he's like, no, we're wearing our all whites today. Yeah. You know, we try to do everything we could to IVs and stop the runs. Like, yeah, I can't. and we're like, yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So yeah, people do get sick. All sorts of things happen. I mean, look, even, I'm sure you're probably going to ask me next, Sean McVay and the pregnancy stuff. I don't think people realize everything that team doctors do. I'm the orthopedist, but was in charge of the staff of people. Yes, believe it or not, we had a panel of doctors that included an OB-GYN. Why? Because you got wives and girlfriends, and you don't want, you know,
sometimes
players.
They travel with the team, right?
What's that?
Sometimes they travel the road games.
Not the OB-GYN.
But no, I'm saying wives and girlfriends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. The primary care can take care of that. But yeah. But what I'm saying is that, look, there are team dentists, because if you have a dental problem, you can't wait 3 or 4 days in pain that you go right into the dentist. There's team everything. And a team OB-GYN, because there are players, I mean, they got wives and girlfriends, and a lot of them are delivering kids and right. so forth. And so you wanted that access to be able to get them in. And if your wife or girlfriend is sick or has a, you know, a gynecologic problem of some sort, you know, imagine, just to think of it this way, hon, you got to drive me to the doctor. I'm in pain. I mean, no, you got, you know, you got to figure out what's going on to help out these guys and make their life easier. But believe it or not, look, I'm the only one that my wife delivered by emergency C-section, the twins, and she was still in the hospital when I left on a trip. But that's because the kids came early and they were twins. And
it was past the point. Yeah.
And the good news is she doesn't listen to this podcast, or I'd be bringing up more
more deeds,
you know, about you left me while I was still in the hospital with the kids to go to a football game. But anyways, believe it or not, the Sean McVay thing, let me tell you something. This is what team doctors and the OB-GYNs do. Literally, you try and carry them close to term as reasonable. Mm-hmm. And usually you plan to induce before full term. That's how you get around this. So the only time that you get caught is they came much earlier than expected.
Right.
Once you get to a certain gestational period, it's safe to induce, and they literally will have planned inductions. And the most common induction time is Monday afternoon after team meetings, and they give you time into Tuesday. So there's an inordinate amount of NFL players' kids that are born on Monday. Okay. That's just the way that it works behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're doing that with Sean McVay and his wife and the baby. And so the chances of him ultimately missing a game are very small, the way that they're managing what's happening.
Well, speaking of McVay, everybody's talking about that bad spot on the Kenny Pickett sneak that his knee slipped down. I mean, you could see it. They had to zoom like two different cameras just to see the knee go down in the pile. And the spot, and it was interesting. McVay was kind of riding the refs. Oh, isn't this reviewable? Isn't this reviewable? Because he didn't have a timeout. But you told us something that weren't aware of about the 2-minute warning in the war room.
It's based on, did the play occur before or after the 2-minute warning? So if the snap of the ball comes at 2:01, but the play happens at 1:55 and the clock stops at 1:54, it's not reviewable.
Right.
Literally at the 2-minute warning, the referee goes to each head coach and says, here are the new rules inside 2 minutes. Here's the 2-minute warning. There's an official, it's not at the 2-minute mark. It's whenever the 2-minute warning comes, that's when all the review rules change and whatever. I'm quite sure Sean McVay had to know that. He probably was okie-doking the referees because he was mad he didn't have a review. But the ironic thing is this: if they were ruled short, because it's a change of possession, it actually could be reviewed.
Right.
He was awarded the first down, there's no change of possession. Like, outside of 2 minutes, change of possession can warrant a review. So it's just a quirk in the rules, but maybe you need more. I don't know why they burned all the timeouts ahead of time, but yeah, he would have been short, right?
Yeah, just an interesting like nitpick of the rule, that because there's no change of possession, it's not reviewable and they can't buzz down or anything outside of 2 minutes.
Yeah, and then here's the thing that I think, you know, there's a lot made yesterday and this morning about the Eagles continuing to be successful on the tush-push or brotherly shove or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, they have some skilled players. Yes, they do it well. But some of the secrets isn't just the push. It's that you get low. We know that. But then Jalen Hurts continues to churn his legs. He's not a one-dive lunge. If you look at the pile, it gets stopped for the first second. And it's the 1-1000 stopped and the 2-1000 that the push comes because he continues to move his feet. So Kenny Pickett needs to stay on his feet and churn his feet, right? I mean, if you churn your feet, I mean, who wins the tug of war at the family picnic? The team
person that's moving their feet.
The team that's churning their feet, the team that's digging down in the sand or lunging is going to lose, right? And so Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are well coached. They move their feet still at the bottom of the pile and the push in Jalen Hurts. And I think that's where they're more successful than other teams, et cetera. I do find it funny that they got called for offsides because of Jason Kelsey's arm, which is legal, their center, which is interesting.
It's just incredible that every third and one, fourth and one, it's like, oh, they got it. Like, there's no chance at all for the other team. They kind of swung parts of the game last night against Miami, so.
Chewed a lot of clock on that drive, right? Yes, I think it was a two or three pushes one drive.
I think we talked about it.
And they're not afraid of, even though Jalen Hurts has a knee injury. This didn't get a lot of traction, but I found it interesting that, you know, you guys showed me Patrick Mahomes is the backup punter.
Yeah, he's proud of it.
I get it, but wait a minute. He dislocated his right kneecap on a quarterback sneak, and the Chiefs won't run a quarterback sneak anymore because of it.
But they'll exert his knee punting.
I mean, it's just a punt. But no, the problem with the punt is contract your quad and kneecap almost instantaneously. I might imagine that's a little bit, I don't know. Would I rather have my quarterback punt or do a sneak? I might pick sneak than punt. I mean, he didn't have to. It's fine. But I just thought it was interesting.
I assume he kicks right footed too. So that's a back throwing leg. That's important.
I would assume he kicks right footed, but who knows? I don't know. I've never seen him punt. So. I mean, people who are right-handed are usually right-footed, right? I don't know.
Well, since we're light for injuries, I got a not injury-based coach speak for you. This is Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Broncos, speaking to media today. I said that was a good win for us over the Packers. Yet I'm driving home last night, heading to get sushi. I don't like sushi. And I'm finding myself circling around the parking lot. Why can't I be happy? Well, you're searching for that perfect win. I'm just that way. There's a lot of thoughts going on.
That's a lot to unpack there.
Is he all right?
I mean, what was that? I mean, I don't like sushi, but I'm going for sushi.
Yeah, I want more context on that. I think a lot of people are saying, who doesn't like sushi? Well, I know one person.
I don't.
I mean, how is that even germane to the conversation?
It makes no sense.
I want to know what he's asked too. Or was that just unprompted? He just came up to the mic and just started spelling stream of thought.
I hope not. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, whatever. I found it interesting that the number of teams that were in contention for the Tank for Caleb Williams Bowl that won, the Patriots, the Giants, there's a bunch.
Yeah, let me pull it up. I think at one point, after the morning slot, one in four teams were 4-0, I think.
The Denver Broncos. Yes, yep. The Cardinals were the only ones. Didn't pull it off, right? And of course, the Panthers were idle. So
Giants were the other one.
They were protecting Kyler Murray's, you know, because he's back at practice-ish.
Yeah, they're saying possible week 8, week 9-ish range for Kyler Murray. Are we expecting, what are we expecting when we see him back?
Why would they put him out? What would be the reasonings to?
Well, the ideal, I mean, when you're trying to activate something, you have a 21-day window,
right,
where you either have to be activated or not come back. Okay, so you start to take a roster spot or not come back. So in a perfect world, from a medical standpoint, if you activate them to the practice window and they're active that week, you probably waited too long because you could have gotten them some more ramp-up time. Now, if they're past 21 days, the team is not thrilled with you because now you're chewing up a roster spot. But even though nowadays for Kyler Murray, you chew up a roster spot and you have the practice squad call-ups, things are a little bit different. But in a perfect world, you don't want to – I mean, basically, as a medical staff person, you're probably saying, let's activate the guy when he's about 17 days away,
right?
I mean, 14, two-week mark, fine, 21-day, fine, you know, kind of thing. So just under the wire so that you're not chewing up a roster spot, and when he's activated, he can play and the whole deal. So you're playing that estimation game. So with this long-term injury, we didn't expect Kyler Murray to play this week, probably not next week, and then we'll go from there.
I know you tweeted on it yesterday too in the morning, so might have got lost in the shuffle, but Jalen Ramsey, they have his window open there. Mike McDaniel said chance that he's back before week 10. Why is his timeline so accelerated? I thought they were just saying December.
Well, Ian Rappaport came out with a report that his meniscus tear was not a bucket tear, was not displaced. It was an outer rim. It was, quote, smaller. It was not Adrian Peterson. So maybe that has something to do with it. Look, let me say it again. I never said that Jalen Ramsey is washed and can't return. I just said the normal timeline, if you look at Adrian Peterson, is longer than this. And his task to return as a cornerback having to react to injuries is potentially longer. Look, he's opened up his practice window. He's doing well. Kudos. The final step, of course, is to get into play and then be Jalen Ramsey. I still think that's a high bar. If he does it, he should be congratulated that he's beating timelines. I was never doubting him per se. And, look, I don't know Jalen Ramsey. It seems to me that he's a guy who likes this chip on the shoulder situation. I saw the fan interaction on the sideline and something, you know, showing off his watch and going at a fan, jawing, you know, nothing bad. He didn't jump into the stands, jawing. Maybe that gives him the motivation. If we help provide it, that's great. And I'm the first to say, kudos if he makes it back to all-pro Jalen Ramsey form. There's a difference in coming back and a difference in being an all-pro, and Jalen Ramsey is elite. Because he's elite, he has a higher chance to return. But the bar to return and be elite is still high. That's all we're saying. If anything, it's the ultimate compliment to Jalen Ramsey. The dude is elite. You're trying to get back an elite corner. You're not trying to get back a guy. Mm-hmm. Going back to, we talked about it in the war room a couple weeks ago. JPP stayed in the league because he was elite, even though the fireworks injury to his hand. He went from a super elite player to a pretty good player,
right,
but he was still in the league. That Tampa Bay corner who was a guy who injured his hand that same year with fireworks was out of the league. There's a difference. All I'm saying is Jalen Ramsey's bar is super high, and meniscus repairs take time, and to return to higher form is difficult, especially at cornerback. And Peterson, our greatest ACL recovery guy, didn't really do it after his meniscus repair. Maybe Jalen Ramsey can do it now after his lesser meniscus repair, but I hope he returns to all pro form. And if he does, I'd be the first one to say unbelievable job, but it's just a very high bar.
Adam Schefter just tweeted right now, the Miami Dolphins have been selected as the in-season Hard Knocks team. So maybe we'll get some extra footage on Jalen Ramsey and his return. So that'd be exciting. One of the most exciting teams in the league. So good to see.
Oh yeah. That would be interesting. In-season Hard Knocks. When does it start?
It's a good question. I'll get that answer for you. Or yeah, Taylor, look it up. We got Beast of the Week. Fortunately, serious injury for Lions running back Muhammad Ibrahim. More of a special team specialist, kick returner, punt returner. But he had a dislocated hip, stayed and had immediate surgery. Not Beast of the Week for that, but I think it was the losing the ball and still looking for it on the ground, trying to recover it.
A dislocated hip is among the most severe injuries that you can have. Remember Tua? I mean, how painful it was to be transferred onto the, cart with the dislocated hip. And if you look at the video, it's not the hit that dislocates Ibrahim's hip. It's as he goes to the ground on his back with his leg in a funny position. The wash comes and someone catches his leg in a bad, awkward position and twists it out of socket. And the spine board was not for his spine. It was just a hard surface to be able to lift him,
right?
Because his hip was clearly still dislocated when he was on the field and as he was carted off. Very, very painful. I've had it happen before and in a couple different sports. I've had it happen on the field in rugby, at the X Games, and in the NFL. And I've been lucky enough to have a kind of a technique to try and reduce it on the field. It decreases the amount of damage, but it's very hard to reduce on the field. And so cart him off. I don't know if Ibrahim went to X-ray or they decided to just take him straight to the hospital. Either way, it sounds like they needed the hospital to either do surgery, i.e. put him asleep to reduce the hip, or actually make an incision to reduce the hip. That's unclear yet. Bad injury, worry for avascular necrosis. Good to see that Tua was able to come back from it. Big deal injury, and he's absolutely the Beast of the Week because the fact that you could even keep your composure and give a thumbs up on the way out is unbelievable. Much less, go look at the video here. Maybe Jake, you'll splice it in. He understandably lets go of the ball as his hip is out, and he has the presence of mind to reach for the potential fumble. To me, that's a Beast of the Week that you're still trying to – your hip is out of socket, among the most painful things that can ever happen. And you can look at the video. It's not tremendously obvious, but once you look at the position of his right foot compared to his body, you'll see it. And avert your eyes or don't look if you're not into that sort of stuff or get a queasy stomach. But he's still reaching for the football to try and make sure there's no fumble there. I mean, who can give the guy grief if he actually fumbled on that play? I think he's down, but in any case, it's still presence of mind to reach for the ball. So for that, I think we have to make him Beast of the Week. His season is done for sure. Hopefully, fingers crossed, not career, although that is a career-threatening injury. So best wishes to him.
Do you remember Zach Miller, the tight end? He caught a touchdown in the end zone, but during that injury, he dropped the ball, and they didn't give him the touchdown because
dislocated knee in New Orleans.
Yes,
right.
That was arterial damage. Everything. He never played again after that injury.
And the Bears did right by him. They kept him on the run. They gave a lot of hope that he was going to return. But it was kind of cruel that they
didn't give him the touchdown. Catch. I always remember that.
He didn't control it to the ground. Right. That's what the rule.
His knee was turned.
Just insane that someone could watch like three angles of that and see the agony on his face and go, "Nope, you didn't control it long enough."
We're in the one job that we need to see 20 angles. So.
The other thing we didn't unpack here, but usually we end with Beast of the Week, is tell me more about Jamal Adams' fine this week after not fine last week. Mm-hmm. Was he really – he wasn't fine because, quote, he apologized. But also you can't fine a guy with a concussion, right? And it's not like he pushed or hit the red hat. He gave him some grief, like when he was told he was the guy that ruled him out. This week, he got fined $50,000. Is it true for yelling at the red hat who was evaluating one of his teammates?
It was for yelling and also making contact.
Oh, he did make contact.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's what the fine said. I only saw the one clip on social media where he's like clapping and saying, he's good, he's good.
They said he made direct verbal remarks and made inappropriate physical contact with an unaffiliated the neurotrauma consultant.
So I don't know if that part was on video, but the clapping at him was on video.
And it's a second time with a doctor, so I guess it's also...
Even though he didn't get fined the first time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm not going back to the sideline. I don't want a player coming at me kind of thing, but... I mean,
it's football stuff happens, right?
Sticks and stones. I mean, yeah. Words. I mean, it's what's that say?
I mean,
he's good. He's good. He's good. Okay. And what kind of contact? If he pushes him, fine him.
For sure.
Absolutely. Right. If he bumps him purposely, fine him. Absolutely. But just words. He's good. He's good. That's cheering on what's happening.
He's being a nuisance, but not a 50 grand.
I don't know, maybe the bump was a big bump. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was interesting. Look, you have to allow people to do their job, but would you look, I'm not saying this against the doctor. I'm just saying, would Jamal, you got to let doctors do their job. You got to let the chain gang do its job. You got to let the ball boys do their job. You got to let the referees do their job. Would he have gotten fined if he went up the referee? He's good. He's good. That's a catch. That's a touchdown, or that's not a catch. Would he have been fined for that?
I don't think so.
I'm just saying. Now, if he bumps the ref, absolutely.
That's an automatic,
and the whole thing.
But, right.
So maybe it's just we didn't see the bump. So we're, I don't know. You got to protect the doctors. You got to have.
They shouldn't be in sanctity, fear of anything happening. Yeah.
But just some words, and you got to grow thicker skin. If that's going to intimidate you, a player yelled at me and said, he's good, and it's going to influence your decision. Nah, that's being soft, in my opinion. But a bump is a different story.
For sure.
You can't make physical contact with anyone who's trying to do their job. That's fair enough.
Just want to mention as we wrap up, too, we got NBA insights on the Sick Insights. You can head to the NBA page specifically for that. But season's starting tomorrow, so we got Luka Doncic's calf, Draymond Green ankle, Steven Adams already out for season with the PCL surgery. So a lot of dominoes falling. I know it's early. I know it's football is the focus, but
Doncic was at practice today too. But yeah,
and it's World Series stuff, right?
Yeah. Yes. Coming,
so you've got some baseball stuff going too. All right, thanks for watching. End of week 7, headed towards week 8. We'll be back next week again. Thanks for watching, and great job, guys. As I was on the Disney cruise late week and coming in the war room hot on Sundays. Thanks.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.